Proverbs chapter number 8. I've dealt with Proverbs chapter 8 before in the recent past, but we'll deal with it again. I will not take a different twist on the scriptures. I'll just take the scriptures just as they lie and share with you what the Lord has given me. And we might look at it again in a month from now, and the Lord show us something fresh and new out of Proverbs chapter 8 again. And if he does, we'll deal with Proverbs chapter 8 again. I like it. I do say that I can't hardly get enough of it. I do. I love the book of Proverbs. We were to read a proverb a day. You know that it's 31 chapters, and most months have 31 days in that month. So if you read it one chapter a day, you're going to read it through 12 times a year, and there's months. February has 28 days. You just read a couple extra chapters on the 28th day and you can conclude the whole book. And then some days have 30, and some months have 30 days, and you can just read an extra chapter on the last day and conclude the book. But, you know, this is a good book of wisdom, and I'm not going to say anything new. If I do, you probably ought to stop me, but this is what the Bible says. I mean, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that happy is the man that getteth wisdom, right? So if you want to be happy, if you want to be happy, a good way to seek happiness would be through wisdom. And I don't know a better place to get any wisdom than in this blessed book right here. Amen. That's right. The book of wisdom. And this is not Solomon's wisdom, church. I mean, a lot of times we look at this stuff like it's Solomon, you know, this and Solomon that. Solomon was what he was and who he was. But this is God's wisdom that he imparted unto Solomon. You know, God asked Solomon what he desired, and Solomon said, give me wisdom. Well, he got the wisdom of God and then penned this down. So I just think if we was to read the book of Proverbs on a daily basis, being a child of God, then it can only impart wisdom to you. And so I think it's wise to read through the book of Proverbs, and I wouldn't let that be my Bible reading. I would just make that a habit of reading the Proverbs. I would do my other Bible study, whatever book and chapter that might be, but always get you some Proverbs in there every day. Because here's a book, you know, I've throwed this out there before. What would Jesus do? Jesus would do what's in this Bible. Amen. This is the mind of Christ. This is what Jesus thinks. This is what God thinks. This is how he would handle. There are situations that me and you are going to have to go through in our life, and decisions we're going to have to make, and choices that we got to make, and things that we got to do, and we don't always know what to do. But this book right here will let you know everything in life there is to know. That's right. It'll help you handle every situation. I mean, you know, in your life you won't never make but about 3 or 4 really major decisions. One of the greatest things that you'll ever do is repent and come to Jesus Christ in salvation. And then, you know, maybe the spouse that you choose will be one of the great decisions. A career that you choose will be one of the major decisions. Ain't too many of them in your life. But then all along the way, there's little decisions. I mean, there's things when you start raising children, you've got to have some wisdom about raising children. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, I wish that I would have had a little bit more of this when I was raising mine. I just admit that I failed in many areas that now I read through the Bible and I go, my goodness, man. My goodness, and it ain't nobody's fault but mine. That's right. This Bible was here before I had children, and all I had to do was pick it up and search it, and I could have found out very easily. But Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we'll read them first and try to get through this chapter. You know how that'll work. But we might get 4 verses and that's it, but I want to get through it. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places by the way, in the places of the paths. I don't want to go fast. I want to slow down. She, wisdom, crieth and understanding, crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. You know why? If you'll back up in the previous chapter, in chapter number 7, one of the things that you're going to notice is there's this woman in chapter 7 by the title of a harlot. And if you'll read and see where she's at, do you know where she's at? She's in the chief places. She's standing out there on the street corners. She's standing at the gates of the city. She's standing in the same places that wisdom is. And she's over there enticing young men and the sons of men to come unto her. And little do they know as they do go that her ways are the ways of death. Little do they know that her house is the way to hell. And while she's over there enticing the flesh, and while the lust of the flesh is over there at the street corners and at the gates of the city, at the chief places, at the high places, while she is over there enticing the flesh, their wisdom is standing in the same place going, don't take heed to her. Don't listen to her. Don't listen to your flesh. Don't give in to your flesh. Come to me. Come to me. Come unto me. And so wisdom is standing in the same place that the lust of the flesh is standing. It's standing in the same place that the harlot is standing. This is a contrast in this Proverbs. On one hand, you have wickedness and vile and wretchedness. You have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life making its plea and its call. And on the other hand, you have wisdom, which is the ways of God making his call. And I'm telling you, but we ought to go with God. The contrast is two different things. Sin is calling out to you and I, whatever form or fashion it might be. It is calling out to you and I. It's alluring. It paints itself up real. Don't sin do that. Don't sin paint itself up to be something that it ain't. Isn't it amazing that when you unwrap sin and you open the box and you get down to the nitty gritty, just exactly how ugly and uncaring and unlovely it really is. Isn't it amazing that once you get what you want, once you get the prize, it leaves you empty and destitute? Isn't it amazing that sin can paint itself up so pretty and leave your life in a total array? I'm telling you, it's a shame at what sin does. Disarray, I should say. Leaves your life in a disarray. Then on the other hand, the other contrast is that there's wisdom calling out to you. Wherever you go, here's what Apostle Paul said. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Ain't that a blessing? Thank God, while sin is over there enticing, while sin is over there calling, while sin is over there prepping, I'm telling you, the grace of God is always there, and it's much greater than the call of sin. I'm telling you, friend, in order to get into sin, you have to trample over the grace of God. In order to get into sin, you have to trample over the voice of wisdom. In order to get into sin, you have to shock understanding and say, I want trouble. I want trouble. I don't want peace. I don't want harmony. I don't want joy in my life. I want sin. Wisdom stands calling, wanting to draw you. Wisdom wants to help you. This is another confirmation that just says, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Right? This is the question. This is the question as you read the Proverbs. Doth not wisdom cry? In the previous chapter, in chapter number 7, you can see the harlot's cry. You can see the flesh's cry. You can see sin's cry. You can see the lust of this old flesh and eyes cry. And here in chapter number 8, wisdom begins to cry aloud. My thought is this, which cry are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to your flesh? Are you going to listen to this world? Are you going to listen to the devil? Are you going to listen to your peers? Are you just going to listen to God? Are you going to listen to wisdom? Are you going to heed the call out of understanding? Which one are you going to listen to? Oh, God help us. What sin has to offer leaves folks empty and hurt. But what wisdom leaves in a person's life is satisfaction. I'm telling you, friend, You look at a man that's lived a life under God, that's a satisfied man, you hear me? I'm telling you, bud, he may not be the best looking, he may not be the richest, he may not be the most groomed, but I promise you under God, you couldn't help him if you had to. He's so satisfying, it's pitiful. Hey, man, just satisfied. That's what wisdom will do, it'll leave you satisfied. Nothing in this world can say that. You can't say that about a thing in this world. Look at verse number 5. Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom. Who is the simple? The simple is people that don't even get to sit in church every week. The simple is people ain't getting told the truth. The simple are the people ain't having the light shine in their life. The simple are the heathens. The simple are the ignorant. The simple are the unknown out there. He said, listen to you bunch of ignorant people. He said, listen to the unknown people. He said, understand wisdom. Get you some of that. Isn't that amazing? He's kindly nice to them, wasn't he? Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom. Then look at what he says. And ye fools. Well, he put to the, be ye of an understanding heart. Who's the fools in this verse? It's the opposite of the simple. The fools are the one that's set in church. The fools are the one that's been told the truth. The fools are the one that's been enlightened. The fools are the one that's had all that and said, I don't want it. The fools are the one that says, listen, I want to go my own way. I hear wisdom call. I hear understanding call. But I want to go by the way of this whole world. That's a fool, friend. That's a fool. Trying to be ugly, that's just what your Bible calls it, a fool. Somebody that has the truth and rejects it. We see one as ignorant and one as not. Wisdom wants to help you. It wants to deliver you. Wisdom wants to see you live a happy life. That's why he said he that getteth is happy. Whosoever getteth findeth wisdom is a happy person. That's what wisdom wants to do. It wants to give you a happy life. What's wrong with that? What sin can say that? Only pleasure there for a season. Church, I'm still not convinced in all this autism. I'm not convinced in all this autism. And oh, I know these people that's got some, but listen, hear me out, please. I'm not convinced in the autism and the ADD and the HDAD. I am convinced of the sin of our fathers being passed on, though. Oh, yes, I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that man has answered the call to sin in his life. I'm convinced that man has went by the way of the flesh. And I'm convinced that he's destroyed certain things in his life. And I'm convinced because he has answered the call of sin and chased the lust of his flesh, he's passed some things on to the next generation. I am convinced of that. These things have destroyed things in our children that will never be right. And I know these people that's born with chemical imbalances. I know that. But I promise you one thing. It ain't nowhere near as many as what are claiming these problems today. A lot of these problems just come from flat out sin and rebellion against God. That's right. I've always told my boys, and when they were little, I said, boys, I want to make money. You want to make good money? You want to make good, easy money where you can sit on your hind end and make a good pile of money? Go to school and learn something about psychiatry. That don't matter if you got a doghouse. You can take a little old sign, paint you some letters on it, stick it out there in your dog yard, and people start piling in because this dope is destroying the human brain, and we're living in a depressed age. It ain't because grandma sneezed in the crib. It's because sin's destroyed things in our life and body, and people's looking for help. That's right. Should have been looking for help, bless God, when they told God no. Should have been looking for help when they told God to hell with the wisdom, to hell with understanding. We're going to chase this old flesh down. Now we got to suffer the consequences of sin, the pleasures thereof. That's right. I can recall as a younger man watching people eat up, just eat up their sin. I mean, indulge in their sin. Do you remember... Steve can remember it. Mama don't, may probably don't even know what I'm talking about. Stephanie can remember it. But do you remember when ecstasy swept across our country?
Do you remember when that sex drug swept across our country when it first come out, and every young person going out to the bars was taking this sex drug, and it was thrilling them for a while? Well, that sex drug was destroying the chemicals in their brains. They come to find out them people started having children, and now we wonder what in the name of God's wrong with this generation. It's because the generations before I said yes to the flesh and no to God, and now we're having to suffer the consequences of a rebellious people. I said, which one you going to answer? Which one of them calls you going to listen to? It's amazing, ain't it? These sexual lifestyles. I can remember thinking, Steve, how that stuff was going to destroy them. I can remember reading articles about it years ago, how it did destroy the serotonin in the brain, how people wasn't going to know how to be happy in 20 years. Folks, it's 20 years later, and we're living in the fruit of those wicked sins. It's come across our land that people couldn't wait to dive in on. Now we want to have pity parties because they're suffering. And I'm all for mercy, and I'm all for long suffering. My God, it's amazing how America's brought hell on theirself, judgment, damnation on theirself. And man, I tell you what, it's hard sometimes to have pity on that. I'm just saying it's hard. I used to try to get my kids to get into something where you can help people, because people's going to need help. Sin destroys things. Man, get you some God about you. I mean, get you some God. Don't call you in the ministry. Do something to help somebody. You get enough God about you where you can tell somebody the truth without giving them dope to help them get through the next day. May I mention, and I don't know very much about it, but I told Dale Morey, I said, Brother Dale, I wish you'd get a message together, because he was on, 19 medications. I told him, I said, I wish you'd get a message together on the zombie apocalypse. Because, friend, I believe the only zombie apocalypse we're seeing is the antidepressants that is turning people into zombies. And I tell you, I believe that junk is sweeping wide across our country, and it's damning people, and it's messing their brains up. And we're living in a day of a bunch of zombies, friend, where people can't even think for themselves, and yet the government does the thinking for them. That's right. God help us. Hey, listen, whatever it is that stops your brain from working today, and it may not be an ecstasy. It could be, John David, it could be a stinking smartphone that we can't get off. I mean, America can't even hardly talk anymore because they got a text. We're raising a generation today that won't have any idea about facial communication, looking somebody in the eyes and communicate. All they can do is hit a button and send an email or send a text off to somebody. I say forget that, and let's get back to something that challenges our brain, that makes our brain do some kind of jumping jacks or push-ups or just get something going up there where we have to use our noggin. I mean, for God's sakes, put the calculator up and count on your fingers and toes if you have to. Whatever you got to do to be able to use your brain. Because we're coming up on generations that don't have any clue of how to do that. I'm telling you, wisdom wants to help us. We have to be willing to get in there and ask God to give us some and to help ourselves. Well, that generation that enjoyed their sin so much have raised a bunch of children today that can't pay attention in school. They've raised a bunch of children today that they can't control. They're raising children today. I'm not trying to throw off on them. I'm just telling you there's all kind of mental problems today that people are having to deal with. And a lot of it is just due to the call of sin being answered. That's right. And John David and Kaylee's in here young enough, and then everybody else. I promise you, unto God, if you're going to live for God tomorrow, the devil's going to slap Steve right between the eyeballs. Grandma's in her 70s. If she's going to live for God, the devil ain't going to take a vacation down to her house. He's going to stir up every stink that he can. If he can get into Amber and Zach's home, he would love to get in there and cause chaos and havoc and wreck that home and tear that little girl's life apart. If he can get into your pastor Lord's home. I'm just saying, friend, it ain't no age. There's no disrespect, no respect. Sin's coming after everybody, and the devil don't take any breaks.
We better just answer the call of God. You can't let up. We can see in the Bible that wisdom wants to deliver man from this error. Wisdom wants to deliver man from these problems. It's crying out in the chief places. It's crying out on the street corner, crying out in the pulpits, crying out on the radio. Wisdom is reaching out, wants to help people. You know what I believe? I believe there's people out there that's on medication that needs to be on medication, but I believe there's people out there on medication like Odell Morey that needs to get saved. And God can take them off that medication. Amen. He's not on one pill today. Not on one pill because of that mental stuff. Jesus took care of all that. Amen. Took care of all that. And I believe he can take care of it in most of Americans' lives too if they would just answer the call of wisdom. Sure I do. Amen. Y'all remember that old boy down there? What was his name down there in Florida? Miss Denny lived in that little old camper behind Roger. What was his name? What was his name? Wayne Bergman was in the Navy. And they put old Wayne in the hospital and gave him dope to rot his brain. Wayne got to the place where he didn't know who he was, where he was, or what he was doing until he got saved by the grace of God. And God gave him every bit of that back. Amen. And he got off them drugs, got out of that hospital. Man, he's living for Jesus. He's pastoring a church today down there in Florida. Amen. Doing well. Doing well. As far as I know, he's doing well. Well, look at verse number 6. Oh, yes, I like it. Verse number 6 says, hear. I like that. Just hear. And he paused right there. Right there. For I will speak. Wisdom said, I will speak of excellent things. Amen. I like good things and I like, but he said, I'm going to speak. She said, I'll speak of it. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. You know what you can count on in this book? It's going to be right. Amen. One of the verses I didn't discuss Sunday was Psalms 119 verse 128 says God's word is always right. Amen. God's word's always right. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, isn't it amazing we're living in a day where people can say but to the word of God. Isn't it amazing that people can throw their but in the conversation on the word of God? You can say something about the Bible and somebody say, yeah, but nothing. Ain't no buts in there. Ain't no but God. Yeah, man, people want to change that, but listen, God's word is always right. Wisdom said, I'm going to speak excellent things. And the things that comes out of my lips is going to be right things. You can always count on it being right. Whatever that book says, you can go with it, son. You'll be right on target. I promise you'll be right. You can't go wrong by listening to the word. Verse number 7 says, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. God wants to work this in you and I. He wants our mouth to speak right things. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing if he could just get that done in our life? Man, I mean, you know, if you ain't careful, somebody's liable to lay down on the horn behind you. And if you ain't careful, the wrong thing's going to come out your mouth. Happened to me just last Saturday. And so the wrong things. God wants to work at it. Verses 8 and 9. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and right to them that find knowledge. Excuse me. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Church, I just don't even have to comment on most of this stuff because it means what it says. You understand that he's saying that if there's a problem, then it's just in our perverted way of thinking. If we can find something wrong, if there's a glitch, you know how many times I have heard people try to make contradictions out of the word of God?
something that the Bible said, and boy, people want to catch that Bible. They want to make it say something that it don't say. They want to twist the scriptures. They want to take this verse out of context and that one out of context and make them butt head. You know what that is? That's a perverted way of thinking. I promise you, if that book ain't lining up, it ain't the book's fault, amen, if that blessed word don't line up. It's our perverted way of thinking. We need to get our thinking right. Amen. Always, friend. I ain't telling you nothing you don't know. There's a problem. It's just us. It ain't this book. There's things that we think that is right. That's right. There's some big shots things. I don't know anybody that's got it all right. I mean, you know, I heard Don Green say that and I went, man, he's about as right as anybody I know. And he's willing to admit he ain't willing to say that he knows everything just right. But he's willing to say that if God shows him, he'll get it right. I like that part. Well, there's things a lot of times that we think's right or people think's right, but the Bible says something contrary to our thinking. You know what? We need to junk our thought and just go with what the Bible says. Contrary or not contrary, we need to line up with it. Amen. Make it uncontrary. Well, I'm wrong, and the Bible is right. Amen. It's that simple. It's that easy. That doesn't mean that we should just disagree, but we should repent and line up with the Word. Verses 8 and 9, look at it one more time. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. The word of God's right to people that find knowledge. It's just right to people. Amen. You find that knowledge and it'll be right. We already know the problem with understanding the Bible is a carnal mind, right? We know that the reason people can't understand the Bible is because the carnality of their mind. But I promise you, a man can get saved and let the Spirit of God dwell on the inside of him. He don't have much problem understanding the Word of God. When the light comes on, son, I'm telling you, a child of God gets it. You hear me? I said, when the light comes on to a child of God, he gets it. Amen. He's got understanding. And I promise you this much, JD, when he starts seeing one thing, when the light is shined on this subject, and God makes this clear and gives you understanding here, it might give you some understanding on 10 other things down the road or in the past. Amen. It just starts making things connect, man, and everything's just kind of start falling in place. You go, I got that, man. That makes sense now. Understanding. That's what wisdom would do for you. That's what we need. We need to get, when you get saved, just get under the preaching of God's word and you won't have a problem with lining up with the book of God. That's right. When you get saved and you get under Bible preaching, you don't have no problem. People that have a problem with Bible preaching ain't saved, ladies and gentlemen. That ain't what wisdom does in our life. When a man gets born again and he sits under preaching, thank God that spirit that's in him is sitting there with an open mouth just gobbling up that word. Sure. What's this? I've had a way of studying in my life for years. I've had ways of studying. And I'd get down my lexicons and I'd get down my different dictionaries, my Vines dictionary. I'd get down my commentaries and, you know, always wanted more commentaries. I've heard things all my life. I've heard the definition of words all my life. I've heard of many good things in my life. And I've heard some junk in my life. That's right. God saw fit to bring people into my life that would help me. So God saw fit to that. I didn't go out. Man, I'm telling you, all I tried to do is just stay faithful. And somewhere along the lines, God saw fit to bring people into my life and shine a light and let me start seeing what was right and what's wrong, what's good habits, what's bad habits. You know, listen, ladies, what are you talking about? I'm talking about letting the Bible define itself. How about that? How about taking that Vines Bible dictionary and throwing it away? That's what I did. I put it in my fireplace and I burned it because I found perversion in it. I set it down beside my Bible. I didn't listen to what some man said. I listened to what he said. Then I set this stuff down beside my Bible. I started going through my Bible and I found perversions in them books. And I put some of them books in my fireplace and burned them. I've been using them books for years. Thank God brought some people into my life and said, hey man, that stuff is crazy. And I got to checking into it. It was crazy. Crazy. I was just doing my best. Doing my best. But I'm telling you, boy, I'm glad, thank God, when God shines the truth in your life. Amen. As a child of God, I didn't sit and fight them people. You know why I didn't sit and fight people trying to tell me the truth? Because the Spirit of truth lives on the inside of me. And when they was telling me truth, it was lining up one with another. You hear what I'm saying? He was just kind of going along with bearing witness with that truth that was being told. I had no problem with it. I just started checking into it, looking into it, reading into it. And I got to reading some of these. Zach could sit up here for hours and probably tell you about the James Strong and some of them people, how they were perverts and messed with little old girls, Alice in Wonderland, all that stuff ties in. Bunch of perverts, man. And here we are in our Bible colleges and our churches, and we're preaching these guys explanation. It's amazing. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about wisdom come along, thank God, and said, hey, why don't you let the Bible define itself? Why don't you let the Bible commentate itself? That's what I've tried to start doing, letting the Bible explain itself. I mean, I thank God for Oliver Green. I really do. But I really appreciate God. Amen. And when God shows me something in that book, I don't have to search out and see if old Oliver had it right or not. God's just right. Amen. That wisdom's right. Amen. And just let the Word of God commentate itself and define itself instead of some other man or getting my information out of some perverted lexicon or dictionary. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, Steve, when wisdom showed me this, when I answered that call to wisdom, I had to unlearn some things, church. 40-some years old, had to unlearn some things. Man, I need to get out of that. And go a different direction with some of this. And so the Lord's helped me. Amen. The Lord's helped me with that. Amen. And I've had to, here's one of the questions. Here's one of the questions that I started asking. You know, and Zach asked the questions. Brother Tim McVeigh asked the question. And I'm not asking it because Zach does. I'm not asking it because Tim McVeigh does. But my question is, where's that at in the Bible? You hear all this stuff that's being said. Wait a minute. My question is, where's that at in the Bible? I hear people begin to preach and they'll quote a verse. They'll leave the Word of God and chase things and start saying things. Man, where's that at in the Bible? You start saying stuff ain't in the Bible. And some of these philosophies and theories and theologies ain't even in the Bible, church. It just ain't. Lord have mercy. Some of these old doctrines that people comes up with ain't in the Bible. So I ask, where's this stuff? Where's this stuff at in the Bible? Listen, you ask, what are you talking? I'm talking about finding knowledge and getting understanding. Find you some. Listen, and God ain't hiding it. God's got it sitting out there. He just wants you to come search for it. He wants you to come. How are you going to search for it? You're going to have to search for it. You're going to have to pick up that book and start looking at it. That's searching. God ain't hiding it. He's not playing hide and seek. He just wants you to come pick up. He's not going to come along with your lazy butt because you won't read your Bible and just start dropping understanding and wisdom and all that on you. He wants you to pick up your Bible and get it. Amen. It's in there, friend. It's in there. And you'll see that in just a second. It's amazing when you just stick to the Bible how much earned learning you might have to do. Let me say this. If you or a preacher have to twist the scriptures to make it fit what you're saying, you probably ought to just hush. You know what I'm saying? If you have to take the Bible and twist it, I mean, arrest it to your own destruction, I just quit. I wouldn't twist the scriptures. I see people do that a lot, Steve. I see people do it a lot. I hear preachers do it a lot. Twist scriptures to make it fit their little message, their little sermonette. They make them fit the little thought that they have, whether it's scriptural or not. And my thought is, boy, you'll just quit that. The scripture says what they say, and we need not to twist it. Just let them say the word. The power's in the word. It's the word of God that's going to convert the soul. So why should we twist it and change it? Let us say what it does. Verse number 10. Verse number 10 is a command. He said, wisdom said, receive my instruction. And not silver
and knowledge rather than choice gold. That's a commandment. Receive my instruction. That's pretty good. We're commanded to receive it because we, number one, you can't buy it. You just can't buy wisdom. You have to just receive it. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, what should he do? Let him ask of God. God gives wisdom. All you got to do is receive. You got to be willing to receive. Amen. Well, verse number 11, let's look at that. Verse number 11, for wisdom is better than rubies and all the things that may be desired and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it, to wisdom. Ain't that good? Let me say this. Wisdom is simply God's way. How about that? Wisdom is God's way. What is wisdom? Wisdom's God's way. It's God's way of doing things. It's God's way of thinking. It's God's way of handling these situations. That's wisdom. And when you get wisdom, what you begin to do is you begin to do things God's way. You begin to react God's way. You begin to speak God's way. That's what it is. What does the Bible say? John chapter 14, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. Jesus was God's son sent in the flesh. That's God's way, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ is wisdom. Jesus Christ is wisdom. He is God's way. He is the way. Amen. And what we ought to do is be more like Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the one. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, come unto me all ye that labor. Jesus is the one that's calling. Manifested in that spirit of wisdom. Calling, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. He is the way. He is the way. He's God's way. Amen. Yes, sir. He's God's way to heaven. He's God's way that we are to live in this life. That's the way God wants us to live. The life of Christ. Huh? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He lived that way. He lived in wisdom. He walked in wisdom. He's a man of God. God's trying to say that his way is the best way. Amen. And you'll never find anything more valuable than the ways of God. You'll never find anything more valuable than God's darling son. You'll never find anything that valuable. Amen. More fulfilling. You'll never find anything more satisfying. You'll never find anything more fulfilling than Jesus Christ. The ways of God. You'll never find anything more caring for your soul than God's way. Amen. He cares. Casting all your cares on him. You'll never find anything more than his way or his son that's better for your life. When you hold up all this world and all that it has to offer, you can hold it up. I mean, son, if you could take everything that this world has to offer, everything this flesh has to offer, everything the devil has to offer, if you could put it up over here, listen, if you could put it up over here and say, listen, man, that's yours, and you just take wisdom and set it over here on a scale by itself, I'll promise you that wisdom will outweigh every stinking thing this world has to offer. Everything the world, the flesh, and the devil has to offer, wisdom outweighs them all. Amen. Sir. It'll tip the scale every time. Thank God for that. I heard a story. I've heard story after story, in fact, of people that have won the lottery. And I think Zach told me a story. Somebody told me a story. Somebody told me somebody won the lottery and, you know, they got millions of dollars. And I mean, I've heard that somebody bought their family all a bunch of sports cars. They got the lottery and won, bought a bunch of sports cars for everybody. Everybody in their family wrecked them and killed themselves. Am I right? I mean, everybody they bought the sports car for ended up in a car. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, the world gave them a lottery. The world gave them a pocket full of money. The world gave them a fancy car. But I'm telling you, it cost them their life. And I'm not just trying to give you an odd story. Man, it's story after. Hey, read up on some of the people that win the lottery. Read up on some of them crazy rednecks. It destroys most of them's life.
It destroys most of them. Very seldom do you see anybody enhanced in that stuff. Usually it's the downfall of them people. Sir, I can't imagine winning $285 million. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be pretty fun? I'm being honest. I'd enjoy $285 million, $270, $200 million, $100 million. I'd enjoy $1 million. I believe I would. That's right. I mean, these people's winning hundreds of millions of dollars, friend. But that sounds pretty exciting, but the sad truth is it's destroyed more people than it's ever helped. Sure has. Well, it wouldn't destroy me. That's what everybody says. And I hope it wouldn't. I hope it wouldn't. First of all, I hope you wouldn't play the stupid junk, but just in case you do, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's right. I've never heard of how God in his wisdom's destroyed a man. Have you? I've seen money destroy people. I've seen the wrong mate destroy people. I've seen flesh destroy people. I've seen this old world destroy people. I tell you what, bud, this old world will build you up, and I tell you, about the second you look cross-eyed at this world, it'll tear you all to pieces. That's right. Go ask Tiger Woods. They'll throw your face up on that TV screen, make a mockery of you, expose you for every stinking thing you're aware, turn their back on you. I'm gonna tell you what Jesus does. Amen. He'll gather you up like a hen does her chicks. Praise God. I'm telling you, he'll cover you with his grace and mercy. Amen, friend. If you stumble a long life's way in his long suffering, he'll come along in grace and mercy and pick you up and clean you off and take you down there to the end. He'll pour some oil in on you. He'll help you out. I've never seen God destroy anybody that ever came to him, that lived for him, that loved him. I've never seen God destroy people that wanted to do right. Friend, I've never seen it. I've seen this old flesh do it. I've seen money do it. I've seen the world do it. I've never seen wisdom do it. I've seen wisdom help people. Oh, go ask old George, or what was his name, George Washington Carver. Go ask him if wisdom ever helped him. Amen. They come down there to arrest him because they thought he was pulling some crooked stuff with all them inventions. He handed them a Bible and said, here, this is where I got all my ideas for all these inventions. Amen. Wisdom, friend. That's wisdom for you. Help that old brother out, boy. Well, verse number 12. Oh, there it is. Verse number 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Ladies and gentlemen, wisdom comes up with witty inventions. Where do you think all this stuff comes from? Amen. Two places, Miss Stephanie. One of them comes out of hell and one of them comes out of heaven. Now, I'll be honest with you, Zach. I'd say that printing press was a pretty good invention, wouldn't you? I'm telling you, I want to thank God 10,000 times that he give a man the capacity to build a printing press where they could take that blessed old book right there and put her out, friend, in Americans' hands. I'm glad for that. Thank God. I thank God for these things right here. Whoever come up with that, I couldn't do that. I don't know nothing about that. But God gave somebody the ability to give me an extra set of eyes that I could see to read the Word of God. You hear me? Some witty inventions. You mean to tell me you don't appreciate indoor climbing? Mama can say amen. She's had it both ways. Amen. They've had to go outside when it was snowing and cold and use pop bottles and everything else to keep from going out there in the middle of the night. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, I thank God for wisdom giving a man the idea to give us some indoor plumbing. Amen. Sir, it's a good thing. That's wisdom, friend. That ain't what the world does. The world shows you how to raise dope. The world shows you how to make money crooked. The world shows you how to do wicked and vileness that destroys lives and homes and families. That's what it does. Sure, you can invent stuff wicked. I mean, in the wickedness of a man's heart, he can come up with some awful imaginations. Birth from his father out of hell. Sure he can. God help us. Thank God for the good godly wisdom. Let's don't forget that devilish wisdom destroys human beings. It enslaves men. Devilish wisdom puts men under bondage. Devilish wisdom will damn a man's soul. Sure it will. Verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Earlier in the Proverbs, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Ain't that right? I believe Mama quoted that a couple weeks ago or months ago, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I say when you begin to fear God, wisdom will start showing up in your life. Amen. You want to know why people ain't got no wisdom? Ain't got no fear for God. You want to know why this is such an unwise society? Ain't no fear of God. Ain't that what Paul said? No fear of God before their eyes. Bunch of fools is what we're dealing with, church. Bunch of simple-minded and fools. I'm telling you, the simple are unlearned, they're ignorant and unlearned, and the fools are the ones that despise and reject the light. That's right. No, hey, look, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. I say, when you begin to fear God, wisdom will just show up. When wisdom comes, so does, listen, I have to remind myself of this. When wisdom comes, so does hate. Now that don't fit well with America, but I promise you one thing, when you get some wisdom from God, you're going to get some hate in your heart too. Because the Bible says when wisdom comes, I hate every evil thing. I hate every evil. I hate pride. I hate arrogancy. I hate that froward and perverseness. Hate it. Bible says, David said, they that love the Lord hate evil. Amen. And I'm telling you, friend, there's some things that just eat at us and just, you know, just whatever you want to say, like a burr under your saddle, rubs your fur, whatever it is. I'm telling you, it just vexes your spirit. You know what that is? That's having a little bit of wisdom and understanding here. And with that wisdom and understanding comes a hate. And with all that pride and arrogancy and that perverseness and that froward mouth, all that stuff springs forward, that hate rises up inside of you. You hate it. You can't help it. You just hate it. Because wisdom hates it. Wisdom's inside of you. So ain't that what wisdom just said? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Yeah. Hate evil. Hate evil. Despise it. Just grieves. It vexes. It just cuts across the grain in my life at evil. Hate it. And I have to remind myself because, man, I tell you, if you ain't careful, you just run around hating all the time. Just hate because you eat up in a world of evil. You hear me? I mean, evil's all around us. And if you ain't careful, man, I mean, if you skip the prayer closet, you hear me? If you skip your Bible reading, you'll just be eat up with some hate. You have to stay on your knees before God. That's right. You have to stay in that book. Keeps you humble. That's right, boy. It keeps you from getting so bitter and mean and being hateful. And there's a difference between hate and hateful. That's right. You hate every evil way. Hate for pride and arrogancy. Hate the froward mouth. That old stupid, filthy mouth. Right, I hate that junk. Verse number 14. We'll move it. Counsel is mine. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. Understanding said, I have strength. Wisdom said, I have strength. You want something strong? Get you some wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is strength. You want to know why people are so weak, Zach? Ain't got no wisdom. That's right. Ain't got no wisdom. Get you some wisdom. Gotta give you a little stamina. Sure. That wisdom is strength. What did the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. What did the Bible say? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Son, I'm telling you, it connects. It all makes sense. Verses 15, let's read down to 17. By me kings reign. That's pretty good, ain't it? And princes decree justice. By me princes rule. And nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. Did you hear me? Wisdom said, I love them that love me. Ha. And those that seek me early shall find me. There he is. You're going to seek him, buddy. I'm telling you, God don't want you waiting till your life gets in a mess and start looking for God. God don't wait for you to, don't want you to wait till everything's turned up. So, hey, listen, why don't you go ahead and jump on board while everything's going good? Seek him early. Amen. You remember old Elijah's prayer? Hey, prayed just a few words and got plugged into the glory world. I mean, son, he only said a few things and the fire fell down from heaven. Them freaks out there praying the paint off the wall and couldn't get their God to wake up and make a move to save their life, friend. And oh, man of God that had been seeking God early, you hear me, son, when he was in that time of need, all he had to do was utter a few words and that fire fell out. I'm telling you, bud, God said seek him early. Those that do, they'll find him. Wisdom said, if you come after me, friend, before you have to have, before trouble comes, before all these decisions fall, hey, if you'll just go after me because you love me, I love you enough that I'll show myself to you. That's good, ain't it? I like that. Here's a good question in verses 15 through 17. Do you love wisdom? You love it? Do you love wisdom? Hey, listen, if you love wisdom, guess what? Wisdom loves you. I got to flip-flop that right there. If you don't love wisdom, wisdom don't love you. I mean, I know that don't fit well in our little old sissy American church today, but I'm telling you right now, the Bible says, I love them that love me. That's what wisdom says. It would seem like to me the other side, if you don't love wisdom, wisdom don't love you. That's nice, ain't it? Thank God. The Bible says that the fools despise wisdom. Ain't that right? Fools despise it. They hate reproof. They hate instruction. You want to know real quick what kind of people you're dealing with? See if they receive instruction. See if they receive reproof. See if they receive correction. Go ahead and blister them real good. I said rebuke them real good and see how they take it. A fool would despise it. You know what the Bible says? Rebuke a wise man, what happens? He'll be wiser yet. You rebuke a fool, son, he'll hate your guts. Amen. You tell him I get, it'll tell you real quick like what you're dealing with. That's right. Somebody can't take correction. Somebody can't take reproof. Somebody can't take instruction. You can't tell them nothing. I'll tell you what they are. They're a fool, friend. They're a fool. That's right. You ever notice children that get mad at correction from their mom and dad? You know what the Bible says about that? And kids do get mad at the correction at their mom and dad. I got mad at the correction of my mom and dad. But you know what the Bible says about that? The foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. See, I was born with that foolishness in there, and I was born with the foolishness that when my mom and dad told me something, for me to buck up against it. I was born with the foolishness in my heart, Zach, that when they tried to tell me to do right, I despised wisdom and instruction. But you know what the Bible said on the other side of that? The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Thank God that when I did look funny and act funny and respond stupid, thank God the rod of correction did its job. Amen. Yes, sir. Beat that foolishness out of me. I'm telling you, friend, that's why we got the prison cells are overflowing in America. You know what they are? A bunch of stinking fools down there in that play. You know why? Because they couldn't take instruction from the law. They couldn't obey the laws of the land. Never had that foolishness beat out of them just right. And then some of them, just three times the fool than others are, I'm telling you. Yeah, Lord God, it's bound in the heart of the child, but that rod will fix it. This happens many times in grown-ups as well as it does youngins. A lot of times a grown-up, I've seen it, Steve, 1,000 times in my life. You get a grown-up on the job and your boss man tell him something to do that he don't want to do and he can't stand it. Get all powder puss, old pooch mouth on the boss man. Boss man criticized something he done because he didn't do something right and he gets all blowed up and blowed out. You know what that is? That's foolishness bound in his heart. He'll just say, yes, sir, I'll do it better. That's right. That's what wisdom will do. Wisdom will say, yes, sir, my bad, I'll do it better this time. Wisdom will keep that mouth shut. Wisdom won't buck up against that authority. Wisdom will, hey, when the preacher says something out of the word of God, people don't get mad about it. This seeking after wisdom. Only fools do that. Only fools get that pooch mouth. I love Brother Samuel. Lord have mercy, pooch mouth. Lord have mercy. People do it on the job. Hey, listen. People do it in the homes. Husbands can correct their wives. No more women. They'll just get blowed up, blowed out. Get so mad. Can't take nothing from their husband. Couldn't take it if I had to. Me and my wife crossed a milestone today. I'm not going to tell you all the details, but I'm just saying thank God 10,000 times. Me and her crossed a milestone today. She did something that she ain't done in almost 30 years, and I thank God for it. Honey, I meant to buy you a flower and forgot all about it. That's the business. I forgot all about it just to show you my appreciation. But this just happens, ladies and gentlemen. It happens. How come you can say something to a spouse and they get blowed up for two or three days? For God's name sakes, that's foolishness. That's foolishness that's in their heart. You hear me? I'm telling you why people do it, because they got foolishness bound in that old heart. So, all right, get that junk out of there. Hey, listen. A lot of times when you got to deal with this stuff in a grown up, it's because it never was dealt with as a child. And when you got to deal with it as a grown up, look at me real good. When you got to deal with a grown up that ain't never been dealt with as a fool, enjoy that hell on earth, friend. Because I promise you that's what it's going to be. If that foolishness, John David, ain't dealt with you in your childhood, in your young manhood, listen, if it's not dealt with in your young days, your wife will have to deal with that hell the rest of her life. Just will, friend. That foolishness has come out all your life. Thank God for somebody that just beats people into submission when the Holy Ghost speaks. Thank God you don't rebel against that authority. It's so good. Can I let you in on a little secret? And I'm wrapping this up. We're all wrong from time to time. Amen. Honey, I know you don't like to admit it, but you know, as perfect as you are, you're wrong sometimes. That's right. One of the things I've noticed about my wife in the last 30 years, she is very seldom wrong, John David. Just very rarely is she ever wrong. I'm sitting there going, do you know how wrong you are? And you're sitting here defending yourself and you're just as wrong as you can be. I got some grunts and some witnesses on that. Hey, listen, I've been wrong before twice myself in my marriage, 30 years of marriage. I've been wrong twice. One time was when she asked me what time it was, and I said 6 o'clock, and it was 5 o'clock, and I was only confused because the time had changed. So I was wrong about that, and I wish that's all it was. Hey, listen, folks, we're going to all be wrong. It's okay to be corrected. Do you hear me? It's okay to be wrong. And when you're wrong, it's okay to be corrected. If you do something wrong, it's okay to be reproved. How you gonna ever learn? Thank God. I mean, you ain't gotta beat the old dog to death, but man, thank God for somebody to show you. Hey, listen, open rebuke is better than secret love, the Bible says. Sure. I'd rather somebody to rebuke me by telling me the truth than to just let me be deceived and let me alone and let me go my own wrong way. Do you hear me? Deceiving others. Open rebuke's better than secret love. I really don't care about secret love. Do you hear me? Are you listening? John David, listen to me real good, son. I don't care much about all that secret love. Listen, I'd rather live with somebody with charity than somebody with love anyhow. That's right. I like for you to tell me you love me, but hey, that charity shows me. Yeah, I like charity. Amen. It's the one that never fails. Charity is what your Bible says. Charity never fails. Love might fail me. I like it when my wife's living in that charity thing. I like that. Amen. I told her I'd rather for her to show me charity than love. Sure. Well, that charity is one of the characteristics of God. Do you hear me? It's one of the characteristics of God Almighty that charity is. Well, we just need to realize sometimes that we're all human. We make mistakes and stuff like that's going to happen. And God put his love in you. And it was, listen, when God put his love in me and you, God knew that he put his, old John Asquith called me this morning. He said, I ain't called you in a while. He said, I figured I'd touch base. He said, how's it going? I said, Brother Asquith, outside of being a human being, I'm doing pretty good. And I think he understands what I mean when I say, you know, stuff like that. He just goes along with it like he does anyhow. He said, Brother David, he said, this treasure that we have, God didn't put it in perfect vessels. It's pretty good. He put it in earthen vessels. You say, I'm just talking about every once in a while, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to mess up. Something's going to go wrong. But I tell you, there's still on the inside of you is the love of God. There's a treasure inside of you and I. And hey, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to be wrong. But I tell you what, thank God for the Word of God to keep us straight. Amen. Thank God for authority and friends that care enough to keep us straight. You know what, Kaylee? Jesus is still working on me. I rejoiced in that this morning, church, that Jesus is still. I heard a preacher say the other night, and I don't know, I just kind of don't like the terminology, but you know, he was right. He said God still got him in the oven. Still cooking him. Still working on him. And one of these days when Jesus comes, maybe he'll take that old boy out of the oven, is what he was talking about, and present him, you know, before the Father. And I just thought, well, that's good. Thank God he's still working on us. Yes, sir. All right. We'll read these and we'll go, okay? We'll just read it. Where are we at? Verses 18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Do you hear it? Durable riches. Not this money that grows wings and flies away. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. We talked about that Sunday. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit what? Substance. Wow. That's a blessing. I will fill their treasures. Boy, I like that one. Then the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. You know, when, before God ever said, let there be light, wisdom was right there. Wisdom was right there. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Wisdom was here before anything was here. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Ain't that amazing? While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, amen. When he put the north, south, and east and west where it is, wisdom was there. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree, and the water should not pass his commandment. Hey, do you want to know why the oceans and stuff ain't just engulfing us today? Because God put boundaries on it. Amen. He said, stay right there. He told all the rivers, you stay right here. It wasn't icicles that fell out of the Milky Way and landed over there across Colorado and made them big rivers and landed out there and made the Mississippi. It wasn't ice cubes that fell. That's what the scientists say, them genius, them smart people. They said them ice cubes fell and landed and caused them rivers and, you know, all the gold formed and stupidness. God put it there. God put it there and told it to stay there, and that's why it's there. You want to know why the north, south, east, and west ain't moved? Because God put it there and told it to stay there. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight. Boy, he's the delight of God. What is the delight of God? Jesus he is. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitat part of his earth. My delights were with the sons of men. Isn't that something? Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, the ways of God. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. That's the word of God, waiting at the post of my doors. That's the word of God. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Don't you want favor of the Lord? Bless, bless. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Isn't that amazing? Son, I'm going to tell you what that is. That's right. That's all. That's right. You want to know something about living and dying, son, right there it is. You want some real life, some real satisfaction, some real joy, some real peace, some real living. Amen. Go after God's ways. You can't go wrong. Ask for the old paths and walk therein. That's right. Can't go wrong with Jesus. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we can't express our gratitude and love for the precious word of God enough. Lord, we just want to thank you, God, for everything that you put in it, the things that cut us, God, the things that heal us. God, I want to thank you, Lord. There's nothing to hurt us, everything to help us. I want to thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Pray, Lord, that you'd help this congregation. Lord, use it as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you. God, if we've sinned, Lord, let it cleanse us, Lord, that we might not do it again. Help us, oh God. I pray that you'd help us to walk in the blessed ways of God. Walk in this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.